Hi everyone, welcome to our character profile of Ali Neeson. This is the second part of episode 408 of Conversation Street, where we have earlier been talking about this week's episodes of Corrie, including Ali's departure from the street.
That's right, when we're recording this is the last episodes for Ali Neeson for the time being, we hope.
So it's about time that we had a look back on his time on the street so far.
Let's talk about Ali Neeson as a character on Coronation Street. He was born on the 14th of January 1992, and I think it should be illegal for adults to be born after the year 1989.
So young.
That's why I'm not in charge. His father was Dean. And that's his biological father.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a complicated family history, so bear with us, listeners.
His legal father was Nick Neeson. His biological mother, Michelle Connor. His legal mother, Wendy Neeson. So just to mix that up a bit, his biological parents were Dean and Michelle, and his legal parents were Nick and Wendy. And don't worry about Nick and Wendy, they're not really in it.
No, but we'll talk about them a bit later, I'm sure.
He's got a couple of kind of siblings. I don't know.
He hasn't got full-on brother, has he, or sister.
Let's be fair, he's an only child. He had a half-brother, Rory MacDonald, who sadly passed away very, very young, and Ryan Connor, who is his kind of brother, but not really.
He's not really in any way related.
No, not really in any way. He's not at all related. In any way.
But they're still really kind of referred to as brothers on the show.
We're always going to call them brothers because they're brothers in arms.
Yes.
His first appearance was on the 17th of December 2007. He has been in
just over 200 episodes.
He's been played by two actors, Dario Coates between 2007 and 2008, and then a big gap, and then he was played by James Burrows between 2018 and 2020, which is the current year as we are recording this now.
Yes. So let's have a look back at this, because I reckon there's probably quite a few Coronation Street viewers at the moment who weren't around in 2007, 2008 to have really got the full force of how complicated and confusing and unrealistic Ali and Ryan's story were when they were first introduced into the programme.
And you would be
forgiven for thinking they were literally both just brothers and both Michelle's sons from how they've been referred to recently on the show.
They're not. So when did you... Oh, this is going to be bad if you don't know the answer to this. When was Michelle first in the show?
That was around 2006, 2007.
Okay.
I don't think that they were... I don't think she was into it very long before this corker of a story came around. But basically...
Off
of the show in 1992, Michelle gives birth to Alex. And that's what was even more confusing about this, actually. The first time he was in it, he wasn't called Ali, he was called Alex. So for the moment, I'm going to be referring to him as Alex, because that's what
question.
He was back then.
Is his name Alex?
Yes.
It's not Alexander.
I don't know.
What's Ali short for?
Alex.
Ali is not short for Alex.
Ali is short for...
Ali short for normally?
Ask the people on Coronation Street, because we have Ali Sinclair, the publicist, who's short for Alison.
Yeah.
And then we've got Ali Mardell, and that's short for Alexandra.
Oh, Alexander.
And Ali King, who's... That's another Alison as well. So here Ali is short for Alex.
Alex,
and also maybe Alexander. I don't know.
I do like the name Alexander.
Well, we're not going to have a child.
Alexandra.
Lovely. So, Michelle gives birth to Alex. This is Ali.
And it's a boy.
It's a boy, Alex. And he is accidentally, because, you know, sometimes these things just happen.
Babies look the same.
Babies all look the same, basically.
That's
accidentally swapped at Weatherfield General.
This is why we should be pushing for more diversity in babies.
I bet these quads have been swapped all the time since they've been born.
They really do not look the same age to me at all.
So anyway, he is swapped with baby Ryan, who is the biological son of Nick and Wendy Neeson.
Okay, all right.
But they've taken in their own baby.
Okay,
and they don't realise.
Right, so let me just get this really straight in my mind. Ryan
We're supposed to be the experts
Listen,
here.
Ryan... is Michelle's real son.
No!
Okay.
Alex is Michelle's real son.
Alex is Michelle... Ali is actually her son.
Yes.
But she takes home Ryan.
Yes.
Wow.
I wouldn't have done that. If I didn't know what their future careers would be, it'd be a doctor versus a DJ. I you made the wrong choice there, Michelle.
The DJ that relies on free gin to get by. Right. So, okay, let me say it again. Ali is Michelle's real son.
Yes.
I don't believe it. I'm sorry, but I don't think Michelle's clever enough to have a son who's a doctor.
Well, this is the whole nature versus nurture, the nature, niece and nurture debate.
It's
Michelle
like, it's
has raised
like,
Ryan.
It's almost like nefarious psychologists set this up just to do a study on it. But you know what?
They should make a TV programme about them.
That's banned these days. It's it's not allowed.
Well, it's like those triplets, isn't it? There was it triplets? The boys in America that were separated and all.
There was a documentary series about that.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's on Netflix. Right, come on. I don't remember what it's called.
What went on with Alex
2007.
After that?
He's
taken to a hospital, Alex.
And that
Ali.
Is her real son.
That is Michelle's real son.
I need to write
who's
on
living
hand.
With Rick, Nick and Wendy, and he falls ill, so he's asked to go to hospital, and his blood tests show that he can't possibly be related to Nick. I don't know why it took him this long, why it took him 15 years to have blood tests and find out what his blood group was.
No.
And then they go, no, you can't
who cares
be.
Who cares what the blood tests are? Do you know what your blood type is?
No, but mums
neither
do.
Neither do I. Mums my mum know. Doesn't know. I asked her. She doesn't even know if I had a measles injection.
That's a thing, that mums know what their children's blood
groups
are.
This is why my mum never had more than one.
So... Alex must have been some sort of superhero or something that he never had to have his blood tested between the ages of 0 and
good
15.
Doctor.
And you had to keep himself safe. So they say, he's not your son, Nick. Sorry to break this to you. So Nick thinks that Wendy must have had an affair. Because obviously Wendy gave birth to this boy, or so they think at the time.
Yeah.
But then she has a DNA test and find out
usually,
that she couldn't have had the baby.
Women are really usually quite sure that the babies are theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why you need to put a tracker out of them as soon as they come out of the womb, or never cut the umbilical cord.
This is why the NHS...
Until they grow up to not just look like a baby.
Should employ tattooists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Be like, what do you want? You can have, like a book, you can have a spade, a heart.
No, I mean, this is... I mean, in the future, as soon as they come out, they're going to be microchipped, aren't they? They'd probably be microchipped in the womb, in vitro. Is that the right word?
Yeah,
who knows what the future holds, but as
we
said, this kind of thing, as they made out an issues story out of it on Coronation Street, this sort of thing happens all the time in this country. So it's only a matter of time.
This is what you get for socialised healthcare, Americans. So bear this in mind for the next election. Do you want your baby swapped at the hospital, or do you want to pay out the nose for it?
Yeah, it's a price that we must pay. So anyway,
we've all accepted it and come to terms with it in the UK.
Yeah.
We don't mind.
If you had a baby, there's a bit of a risk that you might take someone else's home.
This is why all the children in the UK are called cuckoos.
So
it's a slang
term. Nick hires a private investigator who finds out that when Alex was born in the hospital, that was when there was one other baby born at the same time there, which is Ryan, and also, it was when baby Katie was born, wasn't it? Liz, don't you remember when they had that Liz and Jim and Katie story last year? And they were saying that when Liz thought that baby Katie died, and Jim was saying, oh no, she was swapped. And that was exactly the same month. So we were saying that was a bad month for Weatherfield General in 1992. Anyway.
But you know what? You did not think it just all stems back to like one, just like super, super spaced out nurse.
Yeah, basically.
Who's like,
whatever,
man. Like, if you've ever seen Good Omens and you've seen the Chattering Nuns, you'll know exactly how this could have happened in real life, because we all know Good Omens is based on reality.
Ryan was discovered Ryan was born at the same time as Ali. So Nick says, I reckon that he might be our son, you know, Wendy. Let's stalk him.
Why not?
So he goes around
like
the
best possible course of action.
He goes around like something out of It Follows until Michelle...
or Inspector Gadget. Investigating.
Yeah, exactly. The first investigator
that
comes...
write it off. That's literally when I think detective. Inspector Gadget.
Well... Michelle goes gadget nag and goes right round to this Nick's house to confront him. And when
how
she
does
gets
she find
there,
out?
Ryan's like,
why are you stalking my kid?
There's this guy that's following me.
Okay.
So she goes to his house, but opening the door is Alex. So this is the first chance that she gets to meet her actual biological son. And she goes, hang on a minute, you look an awful lot like Dean, this old guy that I was knocking about. Was Michelle married to Dean? I can't remember. But anyway, Nick persuades Michelle to take a DNA test as well. So this is when it all comes out that, yes, Michelle is Ryan's...
Fake
no, Alex. Yeah, Ryan's fake mum. Thank you for the save there. And she is actually Alex's mum.
Right, okay, so.
You make yourself a family tree there while I carry on. So Alex. Ryan goes off to confront Alex about it.
Equals Michelle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Ryan equals DJ equals fake.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
Ryan,
I'll put that right next to
it
the laptop.
So that we don't forget it. So Ryan goes off to confront Alex, has a bit of fisticuffs with him, and then Alex gets hit by a car for soap drama. And that is the end of 2007 in this very straightforward and not at all confusing history of the two not brothers. 2008, Gemma, what
Everybody
else happened?
Everybody except Michelle was like, okay, we found out the horrible truth, but we don't want to change because the truth is scary and reality can be bent to our will because we are human beings.
The Neesons want to keep Ryan.
Yeah, we can decide to just keep things like they are because, you know what, we look into Ryan's eyes and sometimes he's a bit spaced out and sometimes he's humming tunes, but we really think that there is a future here for our son and he's going to do great things in the future. Sadly, they were wrong. But you know what? At the end of the day, can we not say that success comes with happiness? And Ryan is definitely more happy.
Ryan is a cheery chappy.
He's happier than Ali. So at the end, he's won, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The sibling battle, the fake sibling battle. Anyway, Michelle's not happy about this. She goes and meets Alex.
She turns a stalker.
Outside his school and gives him her number.
That probably looked a bit dodgy, didn't it?
It probably did, but you know...
Beautiful looking woman, buxom, goes and meets some other teenage
unfortunately,
boy.
Unfortunately, many people have a very bad attitude towards young boys being groomed by women. They always think, score, get in there, son. But that's not right. That's still abuse.
Because he was her son.
Luckily, it's fine because they're related. He shows up at the Rovers. He says, my fake parents, I don't like them.
Let me live with you, please.
They keep trying to play me tunes. But I just want to study anatomy, so thank you, Michelle, for giving me this opportunity. Alex introduces himself to Michelle's parents, which we rarely see anything of.
Oh, Michelle's parents, they're lovely. Her Irish parents.
Her Irish
Barry
parents.
Barry and... The other one.
Maggie. I don't know. At Liam's wedding. So Liam is... Oh, good God. Why did I start this? Is it her brother? Liam is a Connor. Don't ask any more questions.
Yeah,
there's
another
a wedding.
Branch on this twisted Connor family tree.
I read something today about the Habsburgs, who are a famous royal European family, which were very inbred, and they described their family tree as more of a tumbleweed. And I think that perhaps the Connors are just a
Northern tumbleweed.
That would make sense because they do rampage through Weatherfield, rolling all over the place and getting stuck in nooks and crannies.
Picking up extra members as they go along.
Thinking of an avalanche. Right, so Alex introduces himself to Michelle's parents as their grandson. Michelle's not happy about this, but she apologises and talks to him about his family history. Ryan, meanwhile, the cuckoo in the nest, is not very happy about...
He feels like he's being ousted at this point.
He's feeling a bit insecure, as anybody would, if their mum was...
I think my mum likes her real son better than me.
My mother's seeing other sons. After Alex is arrested for shoplifting, he tells the police that he lives in the Rovers. This is at the point at which Michelle is there with Steve, I'm assuming, as landlord and landlady of the Rovers. So he says, I live there, and moves himself in. And this is when Ryan moves out. There's a lot of tension. There's no brotherly love here between Ryan and Ali back in the 2000s. Ryan moves out.
Still to come.
Alex feels betrayed when Michelle arranges for Wendy, Alex's fake mum, to take him back. Then Steve arranges a reconciliation and they go to Ireland together to visit the family.
You're right? Still keeping up with this, everybody.
Between 2009 and 2018, Alex, her real son, and Michelle, the real mum, drift apart because she's too busy worrying about her
death. She's just too busy thinking about herself.
And like her hair. You know what? If you want Raven straight hair...
You've got to be focused on it. You can't be worried about having any kids or fake kids or anything like that.
Touching up your roots. You've got to be conditioning it. You've got to be putting in pre hair. I don't even know. I don't straighten my hair. Just hair straightening, anti-burn liquid, etc. She's got a lot on her mind. He trains to be a doctor. He changes his name to Ali because...
It's because this town ain't big enough for two Alexes.
Who's the other Alex?
Alex Warner. That's why
he hasn't been around for a long time. Alex only came in it not that long ago.
No, I know.
I don't know.
He went off and changed his name to Ali.
Probably because he just was sick and tired of not being cool.
Yeah. So, that was the early Alex and Ryan stuff. And at that point, Coronation Street listeners, Coronation Street viewers, sorry, all collectively got together and said... Let's never mention that again.
That didn't
happen. That was a bit silly. It was a little bit like the episode of The Simpsons where it turns out that Principal Skinner isn't actually who he says he was. And at the end, they stick the actual Seymour Skinner on the train. And the judge says, I hereby declare that nobody will ever mention this again. And we'll all act like it never happened. So basically, we all did a bit of that on Coronation Street. And we just adopted Ryan as Michelle's real son. And there are a couple of...
As I said before...
I'm sure there was even a scene where Michelle says, I remember carrying you in my womb to White Ryan.
I really think that reality can be moulded to your will. And what is reality anyway, except what you accept has happened and is happening to you right now?
Mm.
So, and also, let's not forget, lest we do... Coronation Street is entirely made up by people.
What?
And you can change it whenever you like.
I thought this was a social history documentary, the podcast that we were recording here.
Sadly, no. We're going to have to give back that government grant.
Right. Well, 2018 rocked up, and this is when...
What a year.
Kate Oates, producer of Coronation Street, decided, you know Woo-woo! What? There is still leg left in the Ryan and Alex story. And she wasn't wrong, actually. And she wasn't wrong about most things when she was in charge of Coronation Street. And I know some people would agree with that, but I think she was great.
Disagree.
She thought that we need to bring these guys back. And Ryan had been on and off the show a little bit and played by various actors as well.
Ryan's the fake son.
Yes. But they wanted to bring back Dr. Ali.
And who'd been gone.
Yeah. And I can't remember whether Ali came back first or whether Ryan came back first. But maybe
I think
I'll
we should probably do, in the distant future, a Ryan and Ali character profile.
Together.
Yeah, I think we should do. But not yet.
Just in case this isn't confusing enough. So we didn't realise, well, we as viewers knew that he was coming back because they made a big song and dance about it. But the residents of Coronation Street kind of slowly realised that this character who had been in the... living on the street with him 10 years ago is back because there were rumours circulating about a hot new GP taking the place of Dr. Matt Carter, I guess, at the medical centre. And Liz is getting all a flutter about it.
I think
even Michelle did.
As a woman, that a hot GP... No, the three words together, hot new GP, sounds like the worst possible combination of things I can ever imagine.
Why?
Right? GP, fine. Okay, I'm going to give you a pass on that because I would like you to be qualified if I want to go to see you as a doctor.
Yeah.
New? I don't need a new doctor. I want one who's really old and knows what the hell they're talking about. Hot? I don't want to be seen by a hot guy. I want to be seen by a grizzly old man or preferably, this might make me sexist, a lady GP. I want somebody who's experienced and who is not attractive at all and is going to be able to see my bits through their own experience.
You don't want somebody who's going to set your heart rate going when he hooks you up to the blood pressure machine. You don't want to give incorrect readings because you're just going, oh, doctor.
I'm not particularly bothered about whether someone's attractive or not because
Your husband.
But it makes
me
feel...
You're not looking anymore.
It makes me feel unattractive. Like, oh, I should have been tweezering my chin more. Didn't know that this was going to be a problem to worry about.
Well, you're not like most women on Coronation Street, Gemma.
Because I really am not.
The thought that there'd be a new hunk on the street got them right up going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got a bladder infection.
He at the time didn't realise that Michelle was still there, I think.
Why?
I can't remember. It seems that he's had a massive falling out with Nick and Wendy at this point, which is very handy.
His fake parents.
Yes. And when when kind of the penny drops and everybody realises, hang on a minute, we know you, he's not really very keen to get reacquainted with Michelle. Don't blame you there. So before long, he's jumped into bed with Carla, another Connor.
Just remind everybody who have seen the goodbye from Carla and Peter
took
place this week on Friday, where Carla kind of, to all intents and purposes, seemed like a kindly, benevolent elderly aunt wishing her young charge good luck in the future for all his young person's dreams and aspirations. She'd been shagging him 2 years previously.
Yeah.
So let's forget that.
No. They jump right into bed together, and Michelle has got... Well, Carla tries to keep Michelle...
Because Carla and Michelle are best friends this. And also related
by marriage.
And Ali is Michelle's real...
very incestuous.
..real son, who's also a fake son because he wasn't raised by her.
Yeah.
It is like watching Trisha.
Carla is desperate for Michelle not to find out about this, but obviously she does. There was some kind of family party or something. Michelle opens the door and they're there.
And they were sharing a cocktail sausage on a stick.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it leaves the ladies having a massive bust up and makeup again at some point in the future.
Well, it's the hair, isn't it? Every time brings them back together.
I think Ali doesn't have that much of a story throughout 2018 until... he's unable to save the life of drug lord Ronan's son Cormac when he ODs in the flat.
Yes, so we have Ryan in the flat with Cormac, and he is having an overdose on the floor of Michelle's flat.
Yes.
Foaming at the mouth, dying.
Rather than phoning 999 or even 111,
Ryan phones his fake brother, who is a doctor.
He was just down the
pub. He comes rushing around immediately, cannot save him, and immediately begins to point out Ryan's various shortcomings, which include not phoning anybody except him for help.
Well, Ronan, the dad, isn't very happy to find out where his son died, and he starts hounding the family and chasing all after them and everything. And this all comes to a climax on the night of Steve and Tracy's wedding, when the Connors are driving down the road, Ronan's behind them, and they have an almighty car crash.
Leanne's running in the road.
Yeah, and then Ronan...
like a freed horse.
Ronan ends up with a spike through his chest, a fence post. And
we've all seen
Ali,
Dr.
Ali, pulls it out and
rather
kills
than save him.
Yeah, exactly. And then
he knows that this is the only way to save his family.
Yes, exactly. He gets a little bit depressed about being a murderer. He doesn't turn into a panto villain because of it. He doesn't embrace the bloodlust, exactly. And he starts taking antidepressants from the medical centre, drunkenly flirting with Bethany at the time.
He took them from the medical centre. He wasn't...
Yes.
He stole them. He wasn't prescribed them by
anybody. I think
anybody.
That's right.
Because I think that he was concerned about admitting his... he was
Yeah,
he
what's,
was
what's made you depressed?
Yeah, but he was... Yeah, but also he didn't want people to find out because he's a doctor and he was worried it would affect his career. Little did he know that it would just be a small part of the many reasons why he was struck off eventually.
He has his antidepressants. He has alcohol problems. He gets drunk, starts flirting with Bethany. Ryan's going out at the time. The two brothers fight. And then later he also gets himself beaten up by two dodgy looking bikers outside of Tattoo'll Do Nicely because he just feels like he should be punished for this, but he doesn't actually want to get properly punished, i.e. thrown in prison. Just wants to be slapped about a bit by a pair of hairy bikers.
Well,
and I'm sure that's
who hasn't
who hasn't fantasized about that sometime? Me. Gemma? She's not saying
no,
everybody.
The ones that kick on TV.
So anyway, after that, the character kind of disappears for a bit because, I mean, this is when James Burrows is, he becomes a dad, he's getting engaged, he goes on holiday, and there was like 2 or 3 month period where we didn't get to see him at all, and then he returned again at the beginning of 2019.
Nothing new for Coronation Street characters these days.
It's not, but I think he may have started a trend, to be fair. Right. 2019, Gemma, what happened with Alan?
So when the factory roof collapsed, he helped to rescue people. It's kind of part of the job description, but unfortunately, despite his magical medical powers, he cannot save Rana's life. He hangs up his stethoscope to go work at the bistro, but the fact that he was able to save so many people's lives makes him think maybe he should go back to being a doctor again.
Yeah, he doesn't like the waiter's life, does he?
I can't believe that the wages never come into anybody's thought processes during Coronation. I mean, if it's like we live in communist Russia. Not everybody earns this. You don't earn the same as a waiter when you're a doctor.
Mm.
Anyway, after a string of rubbish dates, Maria and Ali start dating each other. Then we find out that he has been addicted to diazepam for months. And I think that there were a few very minor hints.
Very, very, very minor clues.
It wasn't like in the same way as Aiden's suicide.
Where you could like show some clips and go, oh yeah.
No, there were a few bits and hints over the months, but it wasn't clear until we are told in the show that he's been addicted.
Yeah.
He panics when his dealer, wasn't he called Big Pharma?
Oh,
he
yeah,
was the
he
pharmacist
was.
At the hospital, and he had been siphoning off pills to sell to various other health professionals,
yes,
including Ali. And then he gets arrested, and he realises that his supply has dried up, because, bless him, he's not exactly a rough-and-tumble kind of guy who can go on Street Corner
Thank
and get
goodness
his
he's got
fix.
An ex-druggie as a brother, that's all I can say.
Dr. Gallas notices that he is got various telltale trouble signs when he's trying to get her to prescribe him the same thing. He's trying to act casual about it, but she really picks up on how desperate he is. And
she's very astute.
He kind of says, forget it. Then he goes and he tries to steal Carla's medication, because this is following, as we said, the roof collapse of the factory. Carla is depressed. She's on medication as well. It doesn't really work out. He can't keep stealing Carla's medication. So he then asks Ryan to get some drugs for him. This is when Toya finds out that he's got a problem and keeps saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I don't know
if
you're...
Can I be in your story, please?
In the UK, just so you know, I don't know if you're not from the UK, somebody says to you, "All right?" That doesn't mean, "Are you okay?" It just means hello. So we say to each other, "You're right? Yeah, I'm all right. You're all right? I'm all right." And that's it. If you say, "Are you okay?" that genuinely means
I want to
help you out and know if you're all right. But as usual, the correct response if you live in England is to say, "I'm okay," and not answer any further, because nobody really
That's what Ali was basically doing.
Nobody really wants to know if you're okay or not. We just want to pretend that we're asking you if you're all right.
Yes.
He has a seizure. He's not okay. He tries to go cold turkey with the help of Ryan and Robert and a lovely, happy family movie night in which nobody is related to each other and they're only together because of one scary, evil woman, Michelle, united through the love of the raven-haired goddess of Weatherfield. We don't really know how well this goes, but it seems to be that you can just cure it with a few films.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a few, I don't know, weeks or whatever, he's back on the pills again.
Yes.
He
falls asleep, doesn't he?
He falls asleep in Maria's flat, and he's supposed to be looking after Liam. Liam, as a stupid child would do, nearly sets the flat on fire trying to make a pizza.
Mm.
How? This is what I want to know, Michael. Back in the day, kids were like raising their own families, smoking, drinking, doing your chimney for you. What is wrong with children these days that they can't even cook themselves a dinner without setting fire to a flat?
I blame the schools.
Me too. I
don't give them the life skills, do we?
No. He and Maria split up because Maria's weird about that and her kid, and she moves on to Gary. Then he misdiagnoses Emma's ruptured appendix when she asks him. She's there in pain, and Ali's like, "You're fine."
He's too busy going
it's
after
okay.
Maria, isn't he, at this point?
Poor, lovely, precious, you cannot say enough nice things about Emma, believes him. And ends up in hospital. I guess when it gets too bad, your appendix just sort of bursts into flames,
mm-hmm.
comes out your belly button, and that's how you can tell.
Are you a doctor as well? I hear there's an opening at Weatherfield Medical Centre.
I am a doctor of philosophy, but I am still licensed to do surgery on your appendix, should I so see flames coming out your belly button. But I think anyone legally is allowed to cut you open if they see that happening.
Yeah.
He gets investigated for medical negligence, but he gets away with it, partially due to Toya, I think, and Dr. Gallus telling the other side, but what, you know.
I can't remember whether it's Toya.
Toya, Gabbers, well? I think they all know something's going on, but they don't really want to push him in it without too much evidence.
They don't want them to get in too much trouble.
No. Middle class people can do anything as long as they kind of keep it on the down low.
Hmm.
Gary hires a private investigator to look into Ali's leavings.
Yeah, he is, because of being Maria's ex and he's still sniffing around.
Unfortunately, they have a bit of a finger pointy backy thing when Ali investigates by himself. And he doesn't even hire staff to do this. He just finds Gary's book.
Yeah, so Ali knows that Gary's a loan shark, and then he reveals that to everybody, doesn't he?
Oh no!
So begins, well, is that the beginning? I can't remember, the feud between Gary and Ali, which is where it all kind of ended up this year, because after getting suspicious about Ali again, about Gary again this year, because Maria finds out that he's a loan shark, and then Gary's like, no, it's fine, I've given it up. I've gone cold turkey on the loan shark, and Maria says okay, but yeah, she gets more suspicious around Valentine's Day this year when he's acting all sneaky, but he's really just putting on a nice meal for a poor guy. So she confides in Ali, and then they have a bonk in the barbers on Valentine's evening. Gary finds out about this. He's just got up to where we're up to recently. Gary finds out about it, hounds Ali, gets him drugged, get in a fight with him, and Ali's like, tell you what, I know when I'm not wanted, I'm out of here. He says his goodbyes to Maria, to Toya, to Ryan. And they have a lovely little ending scene.
And I really, that just made me think of all the missed opportunities we have for these two characters. And how wonderful their relationship could have been. It's yet another example of Corey siblings that never really met their full potential. But while they were together,
there were some
very brief, really good, really fun scenes with Ali and Ryan together. And I can only hope that at some point, further down the line, we might see a bit more of that brotherly
I think we will. I mean, obviously, a lot of it depends on James Burrows and whether he wants to come back, although they've recast both him and Ryan so many times that they could easily do it again. But there was something about those two actors that I think they had a really good chemistry.
Yeah.
That it worked. Neither Ali nor Ryan were particular favourites of mine before they returned to the show a couple of years ago. And when it was announced that those two brothers would be returning, they'd be dragging up the baby swap storyline again. I was like, I don't really need to do that, actually.
That you had forgotten that this ever happened and we were going to never mention it again.
Yeah.
But now you've brought it up, I guess it's fine, because Ali and Ryan are actually really
Yeah, James really Burrows good. And Ryan Prescott are the best versions of those characters.
They are.
And yeah, I'm glad that they got to say goodbye together. It feels like it's not the end.
How did you enjoy?
Was this a worthy send off for Ali? Would you say? I mean, I really wanted
something explosive.
He wasn't buried in the Greg Woods with old Neelan.
I know that they had a physical altercation. And it really was a good ecky thump. We're definitely going to have to put that down on
the
list.
There's going to have to be a pretty good fight to knock that off the crown when it comes to the Conversation Street Awards at the end of the year, because that was a full-on street brawl with blood and people running to save them. It was awesome. I enjoyed that quite a lot.
But I was expecting a little bit more in the way of mortal peril. There's a point at which an ecky thump becomes a stunt. And you start to wonder if one of them is going to die. And it never really got to that stage.
But Ali had been in mortal peril at the beginning of the week.
Don't forget that my prediction was that Gary was going to kill Ali. So I was kind of disappointed.
Oh, yeah,
I really didn't want to say goodbye to the character. I never really want to say goodbye to most of the characters. Even the ones I really don't like when they leave. I'm like, oh, okay, they weren't that bad. I wish they would come back. But to just see him drive off in his Audi was kind of...
Are you sorry to see him go in the end, though? I mean,
no, not really, because I felt I am sorry to see him going away, but it's another example of me thinking there's potential that's going.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would say the same thing about Ali. I mean, he's had periods when he's not been on the show for quite a long time.
He's probably the most prominent Doctor character we've had for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because usually, like Dr. Gaddis, the Doctor characters on the show are peripheral characters. You don't really have their own plots. So it's nice to have an actual character. He was a Doctor. But I don't think that we ever really got a sense of the fact that he was a Doctor and his life is significant in any... and significantly different in any way to his, you know, they never really talk about this stuff on Coronation Street. It's very odd. Like anybody who's a different class to just being like a normal working class Corey Street resident, they just don't really talk about how their experiences are different. We know that he's got a fancy car, but where was he living?
Do we know where Ali was living?
He doesn't. If you know somebody in real life who is in a significantly different wage bracket to you, you know there is like always a little bit of conflict between like their aspirations and yours and what they can do. And, you know, if you go around their house and they've got gorgeous furniture and a giant house and they're feeding you steak and you think, well, you know, if you came to my house, it would be in steak. You know what I mean? There was never... You would really think that if you could have two characters who are exactly the same age and brothers and not twins like Ali and Ryan were, that you could actually have some kind of class conflict and something to explore in that, like, Coronation
Street. He's only a young Doctor though, isn't he? He hasn't had time to accrue his fortune and become snobby.
He's got an Audi. Well, you don't have an Audi.
True.
I'm just saying, Coronation Street has always been reluctant to examine class conflict in anything other than taking it from the working class person's point of view and looking up at somebody and sort of judging them for being snobby or something. Like, we've even got with the Gemma storyline with her, the snobby mums from the yoga classes and stuff, you can tell that there's going to be trouble there because they are living in a different world. You never get it from their point of view. Even Claudia, in the Ken and Claudia storyline, she feels like an addition to his storyline rather than part of it. Like, Claudia feels like an extra character on the top, not a character, like a point of view character. If you think about, for example, if you've ever read the Game of Thrones books, you'll know that there are certain characters who are point of view characters, and you read their chapters and you learn about the action from their point of view, their perspective, and they're like key core characters in the story. An upper or middle class character never feels like they have a point of view chapter in the story of Coronation Street. And I really think that it would be interesting to go there.
Yeah.
Just an observation.
Well, we're not going with Ali.
I felt like we really got inside the brain of Ali, and I wonder whether it's a class thing.
Yeah, I felt that the way he was acting towards the end, it didn't look like there was much going on in the brain of Ali for the last few months. I know that he was woozy and everything before he fell, but it felt like that his brain was checked out exactly for the last few weeks.
It really felt like he was coasting.
I'm not saying it was the actor. I think he was doing that on purpose, and he'd been gone down this pit of despair after everything that happened with Ronan and never really recovered from it.
And it also
is a shame
felt
for
like
him. I kind of feel bad for the actor, the character that he was cast adrift.
Yeah, and it felt like there was a lot going on in his brain that we never really discovered. He looked like he was depressed. He always looked despondent. It looked like he was just treading water and trying to survive. And we never really got that. Like, think about how anxious he would have been. Like, this guy, you know, this is what bothers me. We never get inside his brain. This guy has trained his whole life to become a doctor. He's gone through medical school. He's sacrificed nights out. He's worked really hard. He's done exams. It's not easy to become a doctor. You've got to sacrifice a lot of personal time. You're stressed. People's lives are in your hands. You're trying to survive. You're trying to make it to get this job, to get this role. And then he sees it all disappear down the drain because of Gary Windass. And we just kind of like, just watch him kind of the surface of Ali. and it feels like he's like a duck, you know. He's floating on the water, and underneath his legs are kind of churning and churning and churning and churning, but he's just serenely going along. But you can tell that it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really wish that we had got just a tiny little fraction of how mad Ali must have been to see his life's work destroyed in the matter of months by some uppity little git just over a girl.
Mm. I felt really sorry for him this week, especially with nobody believing him.
Yeah.
Even Dr. Gaddas as well, she was taking no prisoners.
No, I mean, obviously, it wasn't just Gary who was responsible for his downfall, it was the Ronan stuff,
yeah,
and the, you know, the car crash and all of everything.
I'm really surprised that none of that was brought up this week. It wasn't
really
even hinted at.
I'll tell you what it was.
That was what started it.
Yeah.
I thought the past would catch up on him.
No resolution for that. No comeuppance, anything.
That's why I'm wondering, is he going to come back again?
Well, I
because
really wish
there is unfinished business there.
And
the only person left on the street now that was involved in that is Ryan.
Yeah.
Robert's dead. Michelle's off in Ireland. Ali's now visiting his friend, and he says, well, when I'm going to have a court case, I'm going to have to come back to, but I'm not going to show my face there.
Yeah.
So as far as we know, yeah, that is it for him. And it feels like a massive, massive unsolved crime in a way, which Coronation Street doesn't
it does. Think of all the things that happened with Pat Phelan and that never came to light in the end.
But he had his other things, didn't he?
I know, but it just feels like Coronation Street really doesn't do loose ends anymore, and that's a bad thing.
It just... as a villain, Phelan got his punishment. Tracy got her punishment. And I know that Dr. Ali was slightly different, because when he finished off Ronan, he was doing it to save his family and everything, but he still was responsible, ultimately.
Yeah.
He could have prevented Ronan's death, and he didn't. And he's kind of got away with it, but he hasn't.
But it's not satisfactory.
He's been punished by the universe.
By karma, yeah. But it's not satisfactory to see that resolution. It doesn't feel like a full stop. It feels like an ellipsis, like I said.
Yeah, I would say that I'm not super sad to see him go, but there is, you know, regret that they didn't do more with the character.
I just wanted him to talk to somebody, and he had, like, three confidants on the street, didn't he? He had Maria... He had Toya and he had Ryan. But he never really sat down and said to any of them any of the stuff that I've been saying about his life and where it's gone and how it got there and what he wanted it to be like.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And of course, it could have gone very different if those Riley shippers theories had gone true as well. Do you remember that?
That theory is alive in my heart and my soul, because it's twisted, weird, stupid, outlandish. But
so the idea that Ryan
what's the
and
point
Ali...
of having a soap if you don't have those things in there along with the whole, you know, serious stuff like depression and
I'm
cancer?
I'm glad they didn't go down that route.
I am kind of glad, but...
They did. They maybe Coronation Street could have felt like, oh, we need another Kano if we're killing off Rana. But I didn't think they needed it. I thought they had a really lovely, nice, platonic, not really fake brothery relationship. And I did not want to see them having a relationship. Partly as well because obviously neither of them had ever shown any signs of being gay before. But
that's
I know
never
that there
stopped
are,
anybody on
I know,
Coronation
and
Street.
I know, and I know there is a certain number of people in the Coronation Street fandom that are regretting that we never got to see that. But I should have asked. I never asked Ryan Prescott about that when I had my interview with him the other week. I should have said, so what did you think? Would you have snogged James Burrows if you'd have been asked to do it by Coronation Street? It would have been you out that door first.
Anything for a paycheck.
Anyway, that's basically it for Ali.
Well, we first found out he was going to leave on the 17th of February, but it had been rumoured previously
that he was going. It was a quick exit, wasn't it? By the time it was announced, he'd already said that his exit scenes had already been filmed. He said that that there had been rumours beforehand, though, hadn't there? Back in March last year, he had an interview with OK Magazine, and he said, I'm not going to stay for years. There's other roles that I'd like to do. So it felt like
it did feel
it was
a bit
matter
like
of
he
time.
Was just kind of a placeholder for the character of Ali.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have future plans to bring Ali back. I would love to see him back. I really like James Burrows. I think he's a good actor. I've liked him as Ali. I think that he played him as he was given the role to his greatest extent. I don't think that how they wrote for Ali was, as I've just said, It felt like he was a whole character.
Mm.
But and then there was definitely lots of question marks over him, and that was kind of the nuances of how he was played.
Mm, especially this Ronan thing. Well, while that is still going, there's still the possibility that he comes back. Bloody. And even back at the time of then, I got a quote from when he had an interview with The Sun back in November 2018, and he said, "I don't know what they've got planned for me in the future, but I'd like to say Ali could put the murder to the back of his mind and move forward," which is what he kind of puts it in the back of his mind and then worries about it. And he says, "But who knows, with Coronation Street, I might be going back there and they'll tell me I'm the new Phelan." So that would have been a completely different direction for the character if they'd said, "We're going to turn you into a serial killer." I think probably they did the right thing not having it happen.
Like Harold Shipman.
Yeah, yeah.
The murderous GP.
I just think people would have said it's too soon. He's too much like Phelan. There's already Ray at the moment as well, who's a bit of the new Phelan.
But a doctor character killing people, I don't know. I mean, Harold Shipman was a while ago, but he looms large in the British psyche, obviously, as a man who murdered, some say, hundreds of his patients.
Mm.
Because he can, you know, have we ever had a character, like a medical character on the show who has killed patients?
I don't think
It's a very distasteful thing that happens in real life, though. They call them avenging angels, and nurses as well.
Mm.
There have been cases of them killing
patients. maybe in the future a producer's going to get that idea and bring him back for that reason, because I say it feels unfinished.
It has been a long time, it has been a fair while since Harold Shipman, and who knows when the next one's coming up, so you get in there quick before it becomes distasteful and too soon again.
I mean, he's going off, and who knows what, you know. Yes, he's come off the drugs, but I feel that he's still not got over, and he still blames himself, and he's still, maybe there's some kind of regret in there. And he could be going away from Weatherfield to just spiral down and down and down.
Yeah,
and then he'll come back an incredibly damaged young man.
I don't really think it's a good ending for this character, because there's no conclusion to his story. It's more of a...
bit of a question mark. He's not going to be coming back anytime soon, at least. The first role that he is going to be in is in a biopic, a Sean Ryder biopic alongside Jack O'Connell called Twisting My Melon.
So some people call it for that. Biopic, but I always think it was a biopic.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Like, it's a biography picture. Because that's where the word comes from, doesn't it? A biography.
Biography.
Picture.
Yeah.
But people don't pronounce it that way in America.
Well, he's got his work and he's had his hair cut, so he's ready for the next chapter of his life.
Once you've had your hair cut, you're like a sheep in springtime.
Jimmy Burrows. And he said he's had a fantastic few years on Coronation Street. He says, I don't know who he said this to. He said it to somebody, just some guy in the street probably. Ali is such a flawed character, and so much has happened to him. To play such a complex character with so many flaws has been great. And guy on the street goes, who are you?
I just said, what time is it?
At the heart of it, though, he was a good guy. See, this is the thing. He was a good guy.
They all think they're good.
But
They all think they're good.
I think that Pat Phelan kind of knew that he was a bit rotten. Until he crossed that Rubicon. He wanted to settle down and have a family, but his upbringing and family history really meant that he had a lot of issues. As an actor, that sort of character is great to play, and I got to work with some amazing actors, but I came into acting to play different roles and explore a variety of characters, so the time has come for me to move on.
I respect that, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I like a long-term Corrie lifer.
I love a person who gets into his soap and gets a character and crafts that character over decades and makes them into somebody that you believe is a real person.
Mm.
But you also respect the people that get into acting and they imagine taking on all these different roles, and then they get into a soap and they feel like they want to move on to other things.
Yeah, definitely.
And I hope that he gets lots of roles, but I also want to kind of see Ali back.
Definitely. And I want him
to be... It's always like... It feels like whenever an actor leaves Coronation Street, you feel a bit like a kind of slightly vindictive mum. Like, you're like, move on, fly the nest, but come back soon. I need you to look after me when I'm old and decrepit. Come and wash my brow.
I hope that if he does come back, he'll have a little bit more spark to him. And I mean, I'm not saying it was the actor or anything, but he definitely did feel like a bit of a spacey, you know, letting the whole world just wash past him.
I honestly feel as though if you had written a book, a companion book, for what his thoughts were during the period that he had following Ronan's death to him leaving the street, there would have been an epic backstory of like this interior monologue of a tortured soul who was just battering against the walls of this prison that he created for himself. It would have been an incredible read, but we never got any of it.
Externally, he just seemed like he'd checked out.
Yes, basically. But that's how you would be if you were in that situation. It just feels sad that Coronation Street never gave the character room, even just one scene with him and somebody he confided in about what he was feeling would have.
I mean, there was those little bits with Toya, but we just, as we said, there wasn't.
Well, because he never had anybody who was on the level with him. You had Ryan, who was his rival, but also his, in a way, I felt like Ryan was his little brother, his little brother who was never quite living up to him, and Ali was supposed to be the role model, and you know, he's the one that did good out of the pair of them. Then you've got Toya who is trying really hard to help him out, but she is his peer. She's like, she's a fellow professional, so he's always going to be on guard with how much he can actually say to her about how he's feeling. Because once he says, you know, it's like a certain code words you say, and she would have to jump into action to try to save him from himself and get him sorted out, you know, take him out of being a doctor, get him into rehab. And he knew that that was always a possibility. And then you've got Maria, who was not on his side at all, because she was out for herself, really, and playing him off against Gary, even if she doesn't realise that's what she was doing. That's what she was up to.
I think another unanswered thread, or unfinished thread, or whatever, with him is this his parents, Nick and Wendy. And when they brought Ali back, played by James Burrows, they had maybe two episodes with Wendy in, but she didn't have very much to do, and she was he'd clearly fallen out with her. I think it was something to do with him saying that she was getting obsessed with Ryan, but then she never tried to really have much contact with Ryan. It was weird that they brought the actress back, and it was the same actress to play her just for those episodes. And through all of this that's been going on, through all the murdery stuff, through all the drug stuff, through him being handled by Gary, and now he's leaving, the topic of his actual parents has never been brought up again. It's almost like they have now been the ones that have been buried, yet he still survives from this. So. Anyway.
A really fascinating, multifaceted character, played really well by James Burrows.
Yeah, I've enjoyed him. I get a feeling that he might be one that in 10 years time, if he doesn't return, that we'll look back on and go, oh yeah, do you remember him?
Yeah.
And he deserves better than that, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is why I hope that he will come back.
I hope he comes back too.
Right, so that is the end of our character profile on Ali Neeson. Thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah.
And if you want to get in touch with us, you can by all the usual channels at Conversations to Read.
Please review us on iTunes. It's been a while since we've had one, and we'd love to see what you think, and if you'd like to give us a good review, that would be awesome.
If you're listening to this on YouTube, give us a subscribe as well.
Why don't you do that? There's all kinds of stuff you'd like on here.
There's loads of stuff. Right, anyway, thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed. Farewell for now.